Then I will suggest Dorian Gray as open to the interpretation of being such a novel.
That could only be to brutes and illiterates. The views of Philistines on art are incalculably stupid.
An illiterate person reading Dorian Gray might consider it such a novel.
The views of illiterates on art are unaccountable. I am concerned only with my view of art. I don't care tuppence what other people think of it.
The majority of persons would come under your definition of Philistines and illiterates?
I have found wonderful exceptions.
Do you think the majority of people live up to the position you are giving us?
I am afraid they are not cultivated enough.
Not cultivated enough to draw the distinction between a good book and a bad book?
Certainly not.
The affection and love of the artist for Dorian Gray might lead an ordinary individual to believe that it might have a certain tendency.
I have no knowledge of the views of ordinary individuals.
You did not prevent the ordinary individual from buying your book.
I have never discouraged him.
I really don't know what the situation is about. Nobody has told me anything except that I'm accused of murdering a policeman. I know nothing more than that, and I do request for someone to come forward to give me a legal assistance.
Did you kill the president?
No, I've not been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet. The first thing I heard about was when the newspaper reporters in the hall asked me that question.
Prosecutors and police chiefs proclaimed Oswald's guilt and clamored for the death penalty. But less than 48 hours after the assassination, the sentence of Lee Harvey Oswald became a moot point. And for as long as commissions and studies would relive the events of November 22nd, the nation would examine the due process and the rights of the accused in Dallas. Ike Pappas of WNEW was there when the second act of the nightmare took place before millions of viewers.
Now the prisoner wearing a black sweater, he has changed from his t-shirt, is being moved out toward an armored car. Being let out by Captain Fritz. There is the prisoner. Do you have anything to say in your defense? There's a shot. Oswald has been shot. Oswald has been shot. Holy mackerel. A shot rang out as he was led into his car. There's a mass confusion there, rolling and fighting. As he was being let out, now he's being led back. He was thrown to the ground. The police have the entire area blocked off. Everybody stay back. Here's the yell.
Here is the ambulance.
He is being hustled in. To me, he appears dead. There is a gunshot wound in his lower abdomen. He is unconscious. His hand is dangling over the edge of the stretcher. Now he's off to the hospital, Parkland Hospital, we believe. Here are some police officials. Jack, who is he?
Jack Ruby is the name.
Jack Ruby?
Ruby. Carousel Club.
He runs the Carousel Club?
So as you can see, brothers and sisters, today, this afternoon, it's not our intention to discuss religion. We're going to forget religion. If we bring up religion, we'll be in an argument. And the best way to keep away from arguments and differences, as I said earlier, put your religion at home, in the closet. Keep it between you and your God. Because if it hasn't done anything more for you than it has, you need to forget it anyway.
Work is the curse of the drinking classes.
The cocktail party. Nice party.
Yes, lovely.
I'm in advertising. I'm with BBD&O.
And I'm in women's wear. You may have heard of us. Finkelstein and O'Brien Limited.
Finkelstein and O'Brien. That's unusual.
You think that's unusual? I'm O'Brien.
When you're in love, the whole world is Jewish.
I've had a lot of thrills in my life. 3 kids, a gorgeous wife. Such looks. I'm thrilled about my car, a Riviera. My sister Sarah, and John O'Hara's books. But the thrill of thrills that gave my heart a clout was the thrilling night when I thrillingly found out. Steve McQueen is Jewish, would you believe it? He's just like you and I, couldn't you almost die? And Cary Grant is Jewish, could you conceive it? Such a living doll in a prayer shawl. Marlon Brando's Jewish, Pat O'Brien and Richard Conte. Not to mention that lovely couple, Harry and Belafonte. Frank Sinatra's Jewish, could you believe it? Sean Connery and Johnson too. As a matter of fact, the whole world is Jewish since I fell in love with you, Rosie McGonagall. Since I fell in love with you.
I choose my friends for their good looks, my acquaintances for their good characters, and my enemies for their good intellects. A man cannot be too careful in the choice of his enemies. Most of Wilde's best sayings were a mixture of fun and profundity, and when the fun predominated, he would often preface the remark with a laugh or dismiss it with a gesture to suggest the degree of significance which he attached to it. Wit is the salt of wisdom, humor the preservative of thought. And the reason Wilde is still read with delight, while his masters in philosophy, Ruskin and Pater, are mainly studied in the places where dead languages are cherished, is due to his temperamental levity, which helped to make him, with the sole exception of Sidney Smith, the wittiest of humorists and the most humorous of wits. It was his opinion that seriousness is the only refuge of the shallow. And he was undoubtedly right when he said, "Humanity takes itself too seriously. It is the world's original sin. If the caveman had known how to laugh, history would have been different." The great humorist raises common sense to poetry, lifts the burden of life, releases the spirit, imparts happiness, creates brotherhood, and cleanses the mind of cant, pretentiousness, and conceit. He is the chief civilizing force in humanity, the real democrat and equalitarian, detested and dreaded by tyrants and humbugs. "That idiot laughter," cries Shakespeare's King John, "a passion hateful to my purposes." The great humorist is also the true seer. But as human beings have only listened to the saint or the charlatan, they have not profited in a practical way by the vision of their jesters. We know what serious people have made of the world, but we shall never know what humorous people would make of it, because the world will never be intelligent enough to give them a chance, and they would be too intelligent to take it. Which is just as it should be, for the holy spirit of humor is partly dependent on the unholy stupidity of man.
Upon thee.